Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, February 3rd of 2020. It's so good to have you here on the 3rd. I'm here on February. I'm here at McDonald's on South Saginaw Road, as I usually am.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Just got back in from Kentucky and Detroit. So, you know, kind of how that went. I just got in a little bit ago. Unfortunately, I did not get the garlic burger that I wanted real bad from Steak and Shake. I just didn't get it. But I was going to say, you know me, I'm one of those people that I love to eat stuff that's real tasty. And when I think of tasty, I'm not necessarily talking fancy. No, I'm talking tasty. So the filet mignon and that, not my cup of tea. Nope. I'd rather have like stuff that's like comforting and tastes really good. So than fried chicken. You know, the garlic burgers, waffles, and like all that kind of wonderful, tasty stuff. Well, how did down south go? Well, it was really great to be there to get to see my brother for his birthday. That was marvelous. God is. I know God's doing something. Obviously. You know, my brother's not perfect yet, but none of us are. But I just know God's working. But it was a great 2 days. We had we got to see a couple of my brother's friends that live down there, their parents' house. And it was some good quality time. Obviously, it was all for my brother and his birthday, and it was really good to get to see them. The one thing I will tell you that I'm unfortunate about, but then again, I'm so grateful that I got to go down there, but I never had like some of the true southern fried chicken. I had like the strips somewhere and then a Chick-fil-A sandwich, but One of the things that I love going down south for is their true southern fried chicken. And people may say, people ask me, Miracle Man, why is it that when it comes to you and travel, why are most all of your favorite places to go either in Ohio or the South? Part of it is, you know, it's cool to meet new people, of course. That's one of the things, one of the amazing things. And I like going to those big malls and that there. Another thing is, the South is just beautiful. And the scenery is different. A lot of big mountains and hills and all that. Up here we got the lakes. Down there they got the hills and mountains. And so that's so pretty to like to see a different, you know, get to experience a different, you know, lens of God's creation. Because think about it. God created the mountains. God created the lakes. God created the hills and that kind of stuff. So down there, it's like there's a lot of different landscapes. Even driving down 75 in Ohio, there's certain spots there that I know usually I'll call Ohio that state to the south, but for whatever reason today I don't feel like doing that. But anyhow, it is a lot of fun. But then another big thing I like about down there is that unlike certain places like the Northeast or the West Coast, I haven't been to the West Coast, but I feel like I feel like the food down south is a bit more down to earth than other places. Don't you, Caitlin?
Yeah.
And I like the down to earth. I do not like the whole pretentious. I feel like a lot of these cities on like the East Coast or the far West Coast are super pretentious. Don't you? And some of these I haven't even been to. Most of these, I haven't been to most any of them. Outside of Michigan, most all of my favorite trips I've been to, other than maybe to Chicago a couple times, all my favorites, basically, I've all been to, like, the South, including Florida, you know, and that. People may ask me, in the winter, you know, do you like the regular South more or Florida? Kind of depends on what the weather's doing. During the summer, I mean, I love it all, period. But my favorite cities down there, still have like country attributes, at least to the area. Even Atlanta, some of the places I've been to there are some of the best Southern food I've had. One of them was at a place called Folks Restaurant near a hotel we stayed at. I think that's a good sign when the place is called Folks. And this is literally like 12 miles, no, like 16 miles outside of downtown Atlanta. So it's still kind of, so it's still in the big metro area. But it was really good stuff, real good fried catfish. Goody. And that's it. And like when I go down there, that's the kind of stuff I love food wise. And then of course, you know, there's also the accent. Those accents are so charming. That's part of one of the big things to me that make those Southern people so charming to me. That's why I've said for years, although some of your listeners may not know this, but that's part of why I've always said that my dream girl would be possibly from the South. And either want to stay there or go back there is their accents to me are so appealing. They are so they're so charming. Studies have been shown. Read an article on a news channel's website out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. So, which means a pretty good source. And they say, and the article says, that study shows that people think that Southern accent is the most charming in America. And one of the more charming ones in the world. Does anybody, listeners, know where to find a Southern theory? I always wanted to find one of those series that had a good Southern accent and had like that young girl's voice that I like a lot. That's what my dream series is like. And I know there's different Southern dialects. There's like Appalachian, then there's, you know, like Texas, and there's a bunch of different ones. There's some other ones. Sure, I'm too. I don't know what they would call the one in Alabama, but even different. I've heard before that in a lot of those states, they have several different dialects. You heard that too? Mm-hmm. So, I imagine there's one unique to the Chattanooga area. And I feel like sometimes, like when you're there, you can kind of tell someone who has the accents. Here's something I've noticed that I can't figure out. Maybe you could help me with this. Why is it that the older people are the ones who tend to have the thicker accents? Why is that? Have you noticed that before, though? And these younger kids, unless they were in a super rural area somewhere, they weren't as apt to have it. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like in some of those places they develop the accent as they get older? If you added bacon, it'd be
pretty much. Yeah, I think so.
It kind of makes sense, but sometimes unfortunately you got to be older to get it. I mean, my dream girl still has that pretty voice and that nice thick accent that I like. Because Chattanooga, you know, they got generally a nice thick accent. And one of the things that I've noticed there is that a lot of people, instead of saying, instead of drink, a lot of them will say drink. Like, what do you want to drink? Another thing I've heard is they'll call all the different kinds of pot, soda, Coke. Have you heard that too?
What?
Of people calling all the different kinds of soda, Coke, down there?
Yeah.
From what you understand, where is it that they do that? I've heard of that, but I haven't heard it too much. Is that more like Mississippi in there, or do you think that's more Georgia where they do that?
Probably both, but Mississippi, I feel like they would.
I would feel like it would be more like Georgia.
Yeah, probably.
But probably more so outside of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you get down into like the more rural parts, you imagine.
Yeah.
Because have you heard before that a lot of the rural parts of Georgia are almost an Alabama part too?
Oh really?
Or did you think it was more like a Carolina?
Probably Carolina.
Probably depends on what part of the state, too, though.
Yeah.
That west part, though, is probably more like in Alabama. But like I said, it was a nice time getting to see my brother. Glad I got to go see him. So it was nice, really. I'm not just saying that for something to say. Also tonight we will talk about Super Bowl, who I picked, and did my pick go the way I thought it would? I will not answer that right now. You have to listen towards the end of this broadcast to find out the answer to that question. Okay? So, however, we're gonna real quick tell that how you can tell others how to be a part of the show. Then we're going to sing. We're going to pray. Then we're going to pray. Then we're going to open up the Word of God and exhort. And then we'll talk some sports after that. We'll talk Super Bowl, along with what was my personal opinion of the halftime show, because I had seen a couple posts, and did I watch it or didn't I? And so, we'll talk about it. All right, listeners, the best way the best way to be a part of the show is to call in. You'd like to talk to me about basically anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not political, you can call into the show. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You want to go ahead and press 1. They'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we got a call coming in, and then I'll let you on the air so that you can talk to me.
We're out of the Apple place currently, so I need to go over your Apple extra
prize. Now we're gonna sing a song. You probably know this one. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our
God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Age to age he stands. Time is in your hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Our God has three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You're worthy of all praise. My heart will see how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You're worthy of all praise. My heart will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, press in, press in, press in, press in. You know what? Sing this chorus with me. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thank you, Jesus. how great you are, Lord God. How great you are. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are, for what you're doing in our lives, all the miracles you've done, all the miracles you're going to do in us. Thank you that you, everything you've done, we're going to read tonight about one of the great things that you did, Lord God. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for this word. I thank you, Lord God, that every need who is tuned into this, every listener who's tuned in tonight, I thank you that every need is met tonight. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God. I confess over the show that increases in listenership are coming to this program, that finances are coming to this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program. And most of all, I thank you, Lord God, for souls, many souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. Let's go to Joshua chapter 4. Praise God, Joshua chapter 4. And I want to encourage you to just follow along. Whatever I do, you do. Follow along with me. Actually, we'll go to 3 first. We're going to read 3 and 4. I want to teach tonight on Israelites crossing the Jordan. The title is going to be God Parts the Sea. I'm going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all of the Israelites set out from Shechem and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do anything. We'll do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly give out I mean, drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. Well, the water's flowing down to the Sea of the Arabia, the Salt Sea, in parentheses, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant with the Lord of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed, the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the Ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off between the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did just as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, just as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the camp, where they put them down. Joshua sent up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests had carried the Ark of the Covenant that stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the Ark remain standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. the people hurried over. And as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed in battle, armed for battle, crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. The day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priest carrying the ark of the testimony, to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up from the river carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage just like before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal. On the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you, and until you had crossed over, the Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before you until we had crossed over. He did this so that all of the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. All right, now. So what you see here is that they had to cross over a river in order to get to the other side, to where they were going to go. In those days, there were no bridges. There wasn't no bridge that went over the river. There were no roadways that you could go down to kind of divert away from the river in order to get from point A to point B. Nope, there wasn't that. There was all these people, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony. Rather than the people having to all get soaking wet, and some of them, if they didn't know how to swim, could possibly be in big trouble, God did something. God dried up the Jordan River. He parted the Jordan River, and the water piled up in a heap a ways away. It wasn't some hocus pocus. Alakazam. It wasn't like that. it was not like that. God had a plan. And he had also delivered, he had also, dried up the Red Sea with Moses. And Pharaoh was trying to keep blocking him, blocking him, blocking him, blocking him, blocking him, and saying, no, 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 you can't go, you can't go, you can't go. So, every one of those people crossed over the Jordan. They all crossed over the Jordan. They all crossed in the Jordan on the dry ground. But before the people came to cross over, there was that flood stage during harvest. Now, why a river would always be at flood stage, I don't know necessarily all about river patterns and why they always run at the stages they do. And why what might be flood stage in one location is normal in another location. But the water's flowing, but then as people are starting to get ready to cross, that water starts flowing, and all the water is piled up in a heap. And they're crossing the Jordan River. Then the priests are told to gather some stones. Those stones are to signify the tribes of Israel. They're from the sons of Israel, from Jacob's sons, found in Genesis. I did a project for close to the for the first like 6 months of the of this year. That the show started. Of going through all the great Bible stories of the Old Testament. I didn't do Job yet, and certain ones like that, but most of the ones that involved David and Solomon and Moses and Joshua and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel, all these great Bible great characters, we went through and studied it. And though we don't live under the old covenant, it was provided for us so that we could learn from it. Now, some of you may ask, well, why did God dry up the Red Sea? The Jordan River. He dried up the Jordan River so that the people would know for sure that God was the Lord. And they wouldn't be able to doubt him anymore.
And Joshua and them, they knew that kids were going to see these stones, the 12 stones. And they were going to ask what the stones meant. And then they told them what to say. And the stones were from the river. And that was so that they could know that God dried up the Jordan. He caused the water to pile up in a heap. He didn't cause a massive prolonged drought that ate up the water. By ate at, I mean caused the amount of water in that river to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle until there was no water. No, he piled up that water somewhere else. So these people are crossing and crossing and crossing. People are told, stay away from the ark, 1,000 yards. Some people might have thought, 1,000 yards? But obviously, those of us who are Americans, we know that it's 3,000 feet. Like, that's more than half a mile. That's more than half a mile. But they had to obey. And so, these people are crossing over. And then, when everybody gets to near the end, to where everybody's at the edge, and most of them, like at that point, everybody had crossed over. So they said, "Tell the priest carrying the ark, come up out of the Jordan." Joshua tells them, "You know, come out of the Jordan." No sooner did the last person step on dry ground than the water go right back to where it was. That water went right back to flood stage. It wasn't like after a large storm system with a lot of rain that comes through, river levels rise, and then a day and a half, maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days later, the river crests over flood stage and then slowly recedes. Now, the water went right back to flood stage, right where it had been. Not necessarily over it. Again, like I said, I don't know nothing about river patterns. I'm not a monitor where the river is if I lived right by the river. So that my house wouldn't flood. Like, if I live by a certain place and I know that flood stage, for example, we'll say is 26 feet. And that if at 26 feet, it means that my place starts to flood. Then you take precautions. But the Bible doesn't say what flood stage was. But when you go through life, sometimes you have to go through obstacles. And sometimes they're like heavy-duty obstacles. Like that river. Because in those days there were no roads. I mean, there were, but I mean, it wasn't like today where we have the interstates and that to be routed a different way. They had to cross the river. And rather than make them do it wet, and get all soaked, God dried up that river for them. which was an absolute miracle. That he dried up that he dried up that river for them. And if he can dry up a river, he can help you through whatever obstacle you're facing. If you ask him to help you. He'll give you the courage to fight. He'll strengthen you. If you ask him for strength to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with. Maybe that Jordan they have to cross is dealing with some people. Maybe it can be a lot of different things. So what is that Jordan in your life? That Jordan River. What is it? What is it that you have to cross over to get to the other side of where God wants you to be? If you're somewhere and God says, move. But in order to move, you have to cross over something. And by move, I don't mean a new house. By move, I mean could mean you were to do this. Now I have assigned you to do this. In order to do that, though, you will have to not do whatever God calls you to do. He instructs you on what exactly it is that you're supposed to do. And so this proof that God dried up that Jordan for those Israelites so they could get across safely, this proof that God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Because for those people crossing over the river, and if they all had to swim, not all of them were good swimmers. Some of them would have quite possibly perished partway across. So God said, I have a plan. Because obviously the Bible doesn't say what all God, everything he did, other than the fact that that water got put in a heap. But I'm sure he's thinking, I know a lot of these people, some of these people can't swim too well. And that's what they would have to do to get across. So, in order to help, I'm going to dry up the river. So God moves the obstacle. He removed that barrier. So that they could cross over. What's the barrier in your life between you and what God called you to be?
Is that barrier you? Is that barrier maybe a relationship? Is it maybe a friend? Is it... What is that barrier? So you got, my challenge to you tonight is find out what that Jordan is in your life. Ask God to help you with it. And if that Jordan is something you're bound by, ask God to help you get free from it. Because God wants us free, not bound. God wants us to be everything that He's called us to be. And the reason He did this wasn't just to do, He wasn't like, necessarily God's like, I want to be seen as a superhero. Like one of these people in these movies that people are going to watch in a few thousand years. No, no, no. He was thinking of those people right there, that faced an obstacle. And that obstacle was the water of the Jordan River. By the way, listeners, if you're listening, yes, I said water. I didn't say water. I said water. What accent is that anyway where they say that? Isn't it European, somewhere in Europe? Is it Ireland, or where is it that they say water like that? Water.
I don't know.
I think it's somewhere in Europe. Does it sound about right? I think it's somewhere in Europe, don't you?
Yeah.
But anyhow, you know, and in your life, it might not exactly be that water. It can be a lot of different things that are keeping you from crossing over to the other side.
Huh. We're going to rich.
God's called you to go to the other side. Some of you may be like, I like it where I am. Why would I go to the other side? And by the way, I'm not talking about physical location. I'm talking about maybe it's something God's called you to do, but you like what you're doing right now. But God has told you, I want you doing this, not this. And so sometimes you can be in one ministry, and what I mean by ministry is I mean doing a certain thing in the ministry. Maybe you're called to be a singer. And you're singing great. God's anointing you. You're having a great impact on people's lives. I mean, great impacts are happening as a result of your singing. But then God says, son, or daughter, you've done a great job singing for me. You've been very obedient. Now, I want you to be a preacher. Or I want you to be a an elder, or I want you to be a Let me tell you something. Being a preacher and being a singer is two different things. And the different people, God might tell them, okay, you can still sing. And maybe sing a bit less and preach more. Or you might say, I don't want you to sing anymore. I just want you to preach. That barrier could be your mindset. You could think, I'm not a preacher. I may be a great witness to my family and what have you, and got some of them saved, hopefully, but and yes, I'm a great singer. But maybe for whatever reason, I'm not good at speaking in public. Or just these mindsets. Instead of whining. Like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do it. But I'm asking God to remove those barriers. But you have to decide that you're going to be obedient and do what God called you to do. And then you have to decide you want to change it, and then you have to put it to action and ask God, you know, remove those barriers. Take away that fear I have of speaking. And being able to come up with the message and prepare for the message and to preach the message as God called you to preach it. I'm just using this as an example, listeners. So God wants to remove those barriers for you because he wants you to be successful. Lord God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for these listeners. I thank you. I praise you, Lord God, for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the remover of barriers. You moved that water so that people could cross on dry ground. But then, after that, after everybody had crossed, you put the water back. But I thank you, Lord God, that you are the remover of barriers, of things that stand in our way. Whatever it is that's keeping us from doing what you've called us to be, whether it's sickness in our bodies, whether it's a mindset, whether it's not knowing how to do it, I thank you, Lord God, that you are the God that removes barriers so that we can cross over to what you have for us. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. And amen and amen. All right. So. Yeah. Super Bowl. Last night in Super Bowl 54. You had the Chiefs take down the 49ers 31-20. I honestly thought the Chiefs were gonna the 49ers were gonna win, even though I wanted the Chiefs to win. I picked the 49ers, they did not win. As a result, I lost a bet and have to get someone a Coke and a donut. That's right, I'd be giving them a Coke and a donut. So, as a result, the Chiefs are the first team in the history of the NFL to trail in all three of their playoff games at one point by 10 points or more, only to come back and win all of these games by a similar margin. The 49ers wouldn't be able to say that even if they won, because they never trailed in the playoffs. They never trailed, except for in the Super Bowl. All in all, it was still a good game, although different periods of domination by each team. Because even in the fourth quarter, at one point, the 49ers were dominating. But later on in the fourth quarter, it was the Chiefs that started to dominate. And the Chiefs were the one making the plays. The Chiefs were the one, I would say, well-fought, hard-fought game by everyone involved. Andrew Wiley, the player from Midland High, did not play. He was still hurt. My hope is that next year, that they'll make the Super Bowl again and that he'll get to actually play. I really want Andrew Wiley to come back to Midland when he gets back here, because he's from here. I'd love to get to meet him personally and interview him. You know what? I'd like to get him live on this show. And me get to ask him questions. Yes, I want his autograph and all that, but though he didn't get to play necessarily in the Super Bowl, what was it like to him to get to be in that environment and like to cheer on those players, those other players that were playing in the game from the bench? What was it like? What was that experience like? I would love to have him. Maybe if Vaughn had his number or something. He called him up. That would be just an amazing thing. This is the first time ever that a Midland alum made the Super Bowl and was on a winning team. Even though he didn't get to play, the fact they didn't get to play is beside the point. The fact that they made it, the fact that he made it, though, is a big, that they made it to the Super Bowl and won it, that is a big deal. Only 53 football players can say that they were on a winning Super Bowl team per year. 53. And Andrew Wiley from Midland, Michigan is one of them. So it is a huge thing. I'm really happy for him. Vaughn has to be too. Because Vaughn Roten, Jennifer's fiance, he was on that team with Andrew. Even though Andrew graduated a year prior. But, so, it was a really good game. Even though I lost my Coke and Donut bet, I'm actually glad about the outcome. If you make a prediction and there's a promise on the end of it that if you do this, that if this happens, you have to do this. But if that happens, I have to do this or whatever. You got to, still got to pay your end of the bargain. Even if the end result is actually what you want and you picked against it. And the reason why I picked the 49ers is because they were always on top of their opponents in the playoffs in the previous two games. Because when you hit the playoffs, it's like another season. It's like another season. Does that make sense, Caitlin, that the playoffs are like a whole different scenario than the regular season? So to agree, not totally, but to a degree, it comes to a point that what you did in the regular season almost doesn't matter nearly as much as what you did the previous two or three games, depending on whether or not you got a bye based on you won your division and how good you did. The 49ers had that advantage in my mind because they were always leading their opponents by rather large margins. Unlike the Chiefs, who trailed by 10 points or more in both of those first two games. Both of them. One of them was by 24. They come back and win it. That's why I did that. Because I don't do it based on bias by any means. I do it based on history. Recent game history. Not that team versus that team, but like, what have the Chiefs been doing the last couple of games compared to what have the 49ers been doing the last couple of games? And so that's why I picked what I did. Now, commercials. Best ad? 5G works. There was all these different places, whether that man and his mom, and he's like, 5G works here. 5G works here. 5G works here. 5G works here. And mom says, you know 5G works in the kitchen. And he says 5G works in the movie. Wasn't that a pretty funny commercial? Did you see that commercial?
Which one is it?
5G works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if it works underwater. I wonder if it works in the cave.
Probably. I think so. Underwater, at least.
Yep, I wonder. Maybe underwater in a cave. Maybe it works there. Maybe it works on Antarctica. Because it works everywhere. I was reading some tweets this morning. People were bashing it, saying, nope, mine barely ever works. They even started this It Works contest type thing. I didn't know they were doing it at all until this morning.
and after last night when I saw that when I watched that commercial. But it was, that was one of the best Super Bowl commercials in the, I think that was one of the best Super Bowl commercials in a couple of years. Don't you?
Yeah.
Did you think that was the funniest one? Was that one? The one where they said it worked everywhere? What was the one of the other funny ones?
The one with the, oh, I can't remember his name, with the mustache, Elliot, or I can't remember his name. I don't know, it was where his mustache was moving. It was, like, doing the wave. Pretty funny.
It was for the wave. Who was it for?
I can't remember his name, like, Elliot or something, or I don't know. I can't remember his name.
Anyhow, listeners, this one was for T-Mobile. T-Mobile's 5G network is what it was.
Oh, T-Mobile?
Yes, it was T-Mobile.
Oh, okay.
And obviously, in fine print on the commercial, it says, of course, not available in all areas. Even while they continue to say, it works everywhere. You know, if my iPhone has 5G, I almost feel like in a mall, I should be able to go to one of the back rooms with the security guard just to see, will my 5G work in this room? Will my 5G work in that room? Will it work, you know? That would be pretty funny, actually, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, do you think there would be some places in there, some back rooms where it probably would not work?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe like in the room where all the cleaning supplies are.
Yeah.
Or maybe in the back, if you go out one of the emergency exits, maybe one of those corridors. Do you bet it would work in there, or do you doubt it?
Probably not. In the changing rooms.
Like one of the ones in Target.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones in Target I'd have to be totally closed in and the door shut.
Yeah.
Otherwise, of course, if I'm in there and the door is open, of course it's still going to work. You know? If everything is 5G enabled, if you know what I mean. That thing had me curious because, like, the way it was so interactive, and it was like, it works here, it works there, it works here, it works in the movie. Well, it could be like this. It works in the pulpit at church. I would not try it there. You know? I thought that was a pretty funny commercial. That was a pretty funny commercial. And I didn't even watch the first quarter, so I'm glad it wasn't there. I'm glad it was not in the first quarter. But I couldn't believe that Pepsi had 6 different things that it sponsored, including ads.
Yeah,
they
had a bunch.
Coke needs to have at least that many, but they only get like 1. And I couldn't believe that Coke a couple of years ago rerun one of their ads from a previous Super Bowl. That was silly to me. In my mind, you do not rerun Super Bowl ads. You do not rerun them. If I want to go home and watch all the YouTube, all the Super Bowl ads, I probably will when I get home. Maybe when I get home tonight or tomorrow or something, I will go back and rewatch some of these. Someone may put a playlist or whatever. To see. Because they are pretty cool. And those are the best commercials that come out, you know, as the Super Bowl ones, because now halftime show. Well, right at halftime, when they announced the score, that the score wasn't that, I was driving home, so I chose to turn off my phone, to close the streaming app for a little bit. I was glad I did, because halftime show was rather suggestive. Though I'm believing with my eyes to see, I read a couple Facebook posts this morning. People were saying that they had several things wrong with the dancing
that Shakira and Jennifer Lopez were doing. And it was, I can see why some people were very bothered by it. And some of these people were quoting Bible verses. As to what the Bible has to say about certain things, to which I would say, you have to draw a line. You have to also have to look at, what does the Bible say about these kinds of things? The Bible didn't say thou shalt not watch the Super Bowl halftime show. No, didn't say that. It did say, stay away from the appearance of evil. The one year they did that, they were doing that certain demonic thing at the Super Bowl several years back. I was glad I didn't know what it was. I mean, because I couldn't see it. But if I could see it, still believe in God for my sight, but I would have turned that thing off until after halftime, because I believe whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, focus on these things. From others, turn away. And to someone who can't see, some of it could have just seemed, you know, maybe a bit entertaining and what have you. Maroon 5, for example, last year, they had a halftime show. I hadn't really thought anything of it, but people were today, they were commenting and they were like, one person said last year wasn't too bad, but they thought, someone else said they thought it was, but this was a whole lot worse. So, bottom line, you have to draw a line. There are certain things that the Bible is very clear on. Other things, maybe not. But I was told about some things they were doing, and when I was like, I'm glad I turned it off. So somehow I must have known. Nobody said, shut it off. But somehow I just knew. I turned it back on. The last song had just finished up. They went to a commercial break. And from there on out, it was a good football game. But it was a really good football game. And a bit more scoring than last year, because last year was kind of boring because how they know nobody scored any points. They did. I mean, they did, but it wasn't enough to keep people watching.
And all the Chiefs games in the playoffs, every one of them. The one they were down by a lot to start with, and they were down by over 20 points. They came back, won by a lot. For most of that game, like the parts where they were coming back, and that, it was fun to watch. And then the other game, and then that game against Tennessee, that one was pretty fun to watch too. So, way to go, Chiefs. And way to go, Andrew Wiley. All right. So, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.